This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, so Lombardi Line here on a Black Friday. We say happy, well, hope you had a nice Thanksgiving as we get into it today. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. How we doing, Michael? It's a busy day. 16 games across college football as well.
Yeah, it's another. We have an extra Saturday in the week. Gotta love it, Patrick. Yeah, good day. I mean, we still counting up all the flags in the Dallas game. I mean,
what was
obviously
that?
Sean Hockley, who thought we were paying to watch him referee that game last night, and that back judge, that I forget his name. He's when I used to see him at the game, I thought, oh, he loves to get involved in the game. You know, I think that's Chad Hill. I'm not sure. I have to check the name. But that crew was—I think that crew really embarrassed the league, especially on one of the most televised, publicly, you know, the huge ratings that game had, and the compelling nature of the game was horrible.
Yep, 14 penalties apiece for the Cowboys and Raiders, 28 total. Unbelievable. I mean, just the way it played out as far as Anthony Brown had four PIs on him to set up the game-winning field goal. But the Raiders do cover, obviously. They win on the field, catching seven by the time it closed, Michael, and the 50.5, so it goes over the total.
You know, I think there's a lesson to learn here, and I don't know if there's a right way to go or not. A lot of people lost out in Survivor yesterday, unfortunately, because they saved Dallas for this day, right? And, you know, and I think that the lesson, Jimmy Vaccaro talks about this, the lesson in Survivor is don't save. Like, you just got, they're going to have to be some hard games. Like, my instincts were, when I watched Justin Fields play against the Steelers, to take Chicago against Detroit. Now, it didn't end up that way, but I was going to use Dallas if I was recommending to use Dallas before the game, because the Dallas-Las Vegas game, you know, it wasn't as easy as people thought it was going to be, even though the line was 7.5, 8, because obviously the Raiders can score points. So, and look, I think if you play that game 10 times, Dallas is going to win at 8, assuming what crew we get. If we get Scott Novak, they're not. If we get Hockley, they're not. If we maybe get, you know, someone else, they got a chance. Ron Tolbert could have done that game. It would have been a lot better.
Is this going to be a discussion? I mean, there has to be, like you said, Hockley and his crew kind of stole the show, which is exactly what the league doesn't want. Will this be a greater discussion?
It has to. I mean, to me, what the league will come out with all the penalties were worthwhile. They call. I didn't think Anthony Brown. I thought the last one, you know, where he didn't turn his head around.
Yeah.
You know, but he didn't play into the man, and the man didn't play to him. The man didn't play through to him. You know, and I know they have all the technicalities, and we'll get Pereira on the phone, and he'll be able to defend it all. But the reality of it is, the Tony Pollard holding call was one of the worst I've ever seen. That was a huge run, a big play in the game. I mean, there's back and forth. There were 11 first downs given to each team by penalties. 11. I mean, we didn't pay to watch them officiate. And they think they did. And the four on Brown, I thought the first pass interference call on Brown was very nitpicking. I thought it was horrible. They both hooked each other.
Yeah, listen.
But that back judge there, he calls it. I mean, he thinks people are paying to watch him.
That is certainly not the case. The Dogs go 2-1 yesterday on Thanksgiving. Road teams won all three games. That's another Survivor technique that I know a lot of people like to use, is the home teams. The home teams, that's not in the equation this year. The home
I think
teams,
you got to throw that out. I think you got to throw that out the window, because, I mean, we've seen road teams win like crazy. You know, typically when I was in the league, you know, if we were getting ready to play a Sunday night game or a Monday night game, I would look at all the home teams that won. And if we were playing at home, I think, okay, we got a really good percentage to win this, because home teams, that's not the case anymore.
Mm-mm.
And look, let's face it. New Orleans had no offense whatsoever. Zero offense. We know Taysom Hill's hurt. They couldn't do anything. That was really I mishandicapped that game, because they had no chance to score any points. They could have played another 60 minutes and New Orleans wasn't going to score any points. I mean, I know they kicked a field goal, but they weren't going to score any points.
Yep, Bills easy route. They end up closing 7. There you see it, 31-6 winner for the Bills. They get back on track after having lost 2 of 3, a snoozer of a game. Like you mentioned, the Saints are just so banged
brutal.
Up.
Yeah, I mean, I know they can, you know, they score. What do you think you're going to get out of the Saints? 10 points? I mean, last week they scored points in the fourth quarter like they did in this game when the other team was laying down on them. This is Sean Payton is going through one of those rebuilding years without cap room. I mean, I think more than anything, they need a quarterback. I mean, we know this, right? We know this. They signed Taysom Hill to that extension, but they know they need a quarterback.
And whether it's – you mentioned Hill, who just got the extension. Why he's not playing? I guess, obviously, as you mentioned, he's injured. Whether it's Ian Book or whomever, Simeon's not the – they got to try something, right?
I would think so, Patrick. I mean, put Ian Book out there. I mean, Simeon just to me, and the more he plays, the less effective he's going to become.
Yeah.
You know, when I watched him play when Elway thought he was going to be the heir apparent in Denver, his size doesn't allow him to be. The longer he plays, the less effective he's going to become in the game. It's going to wear and tear of him. His eye level comes down. I mean, he misses some really easy throws.
Yeah, he does. So in a spark, the best game he played was when he came in relief the first one and kind of surprised some people. But you give defenses a chance to catch up with Trevor Siemian. They're going to do that.
I think we got to fade New Orleans all the way through. I mean, I don't see how they come back from this. I really don't. You know, I mean, the Lions going to adjust to them. There's no question about that. But, you know, it's going to be hard for them to bounce. I mean, how are they going to be able to really where are they going to get their offense from? I mean, they're 5-6, you know. They're 5-6. They have the Cowboys coming up. That's on December. That's a Thursday night game. So they have the Cowboys next week. Then they go to the Jets and they have Tampa. I mean, maybe they could beat the Jets. Then they have Miami, Carolina, Atlanta. I mean, to me, there's no chance they're making the playoffs. No chance. That's a pretty safe bet.
And what's fat, you were talking yesterday, this popped in my head, you know, Oklahoma State and Gundy being a defensive team this year. What's fascinating about the Saints is they're going to throw away a great defensive year. And Sean Payton's an offensive mind. So it's almost the inverse of what you expect from the Saints. But even yesterday, the defense actually produced some impact plays when they were kind of lingering against the Bills.
If they have a quarterback, if they have Kamara and some of their players, they win that game. But the way Allen turned the ball over in the first half,
yeah.
You know, and if they could have done anything to generate offense, but, you know, Allen throws 4 touchdown passes. They run the ball 32 times for the Bills, which is remarkable, right? I mean, you know, you could see that the sting of that loss last week of not running the football really affected them against the Colts, and they came out trying to run the ball in this game. So, you know, but we have skirted around in this A block here of really the main conversation that America needs to discuss, bettors need to discuss.
What's that?
Do you really want to bet on Dan Campbell? If you do, if Will Hill tells me I'd like the Lions this week, I might have it. I mean, do you want to bet on the Lions? I mean, after that performance between Spassky and Fisher, Matt Nagy being Fisher, I mean, what could you possibly say? What texts were you getting when he called 2 timeouts and didn't know it? That's what I want to know. America wants to know this.
I can't
Patrick.
Read them. I can't read them. I can't show you the gifts that were being sent to me. I just can't tell you anything. Honestly, he seems like a nice enough human being, but it is embarrassing. And it's calamitous right now. I mean, think what we saw yesterday out of Dan Campbell.
How about Rod Wood? If you're Rod Wood and you hired him, what do you think?
And gave him an extra year. Gave him an extra year.
Where's Spielman? Where's Spielman in all this? Like, where's Spielman? He's gone underground. He's at West Cape May. He's in witness protection. You know, he was out there in front of everybody. And now when it starts, you know, it's embarrassing. It's not just losing. It's embarrassing losing.
You know, I didn't realize this. And I knew the stat, but until I saw it just like in front of my face today, Goff 0-16-1 without McVay at this point. Jared Goff 0-16. He's never won a football
game. Jimmy Johnson was talking about it on the Fox show yesterday because I had it on here in my office, and you know, and Jimmy was defending Goff. And look, Goff had 4 incomplete passes in the whole game. He had 4 incomplete passes in the whole game, and they scored what? They scored 13 points.
Dude checks down. The first thing he does is check down, then he checks down the check down. I mean, he is check. That's what he does.
Excuse me. He scored 14 points. But look, I mean, they had 10 penalties. I mean, every time you couldn't go. They were truly the Bruce Springsteen song. 1 step up, 2 steps back. Yeah. I mean, they go 1 step and then they go 2 steps back. I mean, it was embarrassing. And then the whole orchestration at the end of the game. And then Nagy's reaction, like he won Super Bowl 58. I mean, it was unbelievable.
He did, dude. He was going crazy when he went. And that was an embarrassing performance by the Bears as well, if we're being completely honest. I mean, this is not a very good it's not a very good Detroit team. I'm speaking very obviously. Now, let me ask you a question. So, Rod Wood, so for those that don't know, the president of the Lions is a guy named Rod Wood. He was a auto exec. They brought him over from Ford.
No football experience.
No football experience.
This is Bob McNamara coming into the White House. Yeah, there's
Then your boy, Spielman, that's your remember when guy. Right? So we've got
bring him back.
We've got a car executive. We've got a first year. We've got a guy that's never coached before. We've got Mrs. Ford's daughter ultimately in charge. So how would you like this? Is just there's pieces all over the place with the Lions. It's not going to get better.
Well, they're going to fire a bunch of coaches. They're going to have to save Campbell.
Anthony Lynn's going to be gone.
He's now calling. You think Aaron Glenn's going to survive this? I mean, Anthony Lynn's going to be gone. I mean, they're all going to fight. They have a lot of ex-players on the staff. You know, you need some expertise. Who has helped Brad Holmes? He's the GM. Is he going to help Campbell become a better head coach?
No, I didn't even mention Holmes, who I think still lives in Atlanta. and Detroit, last time I checked, is in Michigan. So I beg of you, please just make a couple of calls and let them know that you're willing to help and restructure and settle down and just please.
I tried to help them with the search. You know, I said, you know, I tried to help them with the search. But look, they've got Minnesota at home next week. They don't. I think they have a really good chance. They got Minnesota, Denver, Arizona, Atlanta, Seattle, Green Bay. They may be another 0-0 win team.
A good chance is an interesting way to frame that, but you're right. There is a good chance they'll be all-time bad. Again, if 31 jobs open up in the NFL, how many are hiring Dan Campbell? The answer is zero. Happy Thanksgiving. We continue. It's a Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, football season is here, as you know. BetMGM's got you covered. All your favorite wagering options, in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Bring your state issued ID here in Nevada, and you're ready to bet within minutes. You can visit BetMGM.com or simply download the app. If you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-522-4700. If you have a spending problem or a retail problem, first off, the best place to go would be the store, because we're still running our Black Friday special there at VSiN. You can get $20 to spend on a hat or a t-shirt or any of the swag there in the VSiN store, VSiN.com/subscribe. But today's a dangerous day if you're just sitting at home, Michael, with a tryptophan hangover, with all these deals coming in on Black Friday, spending just cash. It's just it's one of those days. Hey, I wanted to ask you, if I gave you the Cowboys right now sitting 7-4, okay, so again, the loss yesterday, they've lost 3 of 4. And then I gave you the Bills sitting 7-4. The Cowboys are going to be at the Saints next Thursday. And then the Bills get a little bit of a respite here. They're going to host the Pats next Sunday, which is huge. 7-4, 7-4. Which team do you trust?
Is that a Sunday or Monday night game? Is that a Monday night game?
Pardon me, it might be Monday night. Let me just check. Just double check. That is Monday night. Yep, you nailed it. So, who do you trust of the two, the Cowboys or Bills, both 7-4 right now?
I'm going to trust the Cowboys. I mean, I think, look, the Cowboys, they're missing a ton of players now. They got to get DeMarcus back, you know, Lawrence. They've got to get DeMarcus Lawrence back. They got to get Randy Gregory back.
Yep.
And they need their receivers. I mean, you know, they didn't have CeeDee Lamb. They didn't have Cooper yesterday. Again, they're dropping way too many passes. Actually, to me, to be honest with you, watching the Cowboys, it seems to me, and last week it was hard to practice, it seems to me they're missing their time at practice. Like, they are one of those teams that when you're in November, you've got to practice. You've got to practice. You've got to put the pads on. The players don't want to hear it. You've got to go out there. You've got to have a little thudding going on. You've got to make sure you're wearing your gloves so you don't get called for holding penalties. And you got to go out there, and you have to get better at that. And they couldn't run the ball yesterday, which was really their Achilles heel against the Raiders. So, for me, I think it's the Cowboys are the better team because they have more balance with their offense. Their defense needs those two players back desperately.
Yeah, and the Allen conversation, he was better yesterday. He still forces throws. Where are you right now on Josh Allen, who kind of came into this game a little broken and played pretty well?
I mean, look, he's so big. He makes so many plays. I think the difference is how you defend him, right? You know, you've got to do a good job of defending him in the pocket and make him beat you in the quarterback. Make him beat you throwing the football. Make him beat you throwing the ball. Now, the last three games, they've had eight turnovers. The last three games, they've had eight turnovers. They've been fortunate because in the Jet game, they forced five. So they're plus two, and they're only minus two in that category. You know, and they've had two games this year where they forced 10 turnovers, five against the Jets, five against the Texans. They have beaten up on some really bad teams. I'm not sure we know how good Buffalo is right now. Think about this. Think about this, Patrick. You know, they come out, they lose to the Steelers. They beat a Miami team. Tua gets hurt. Don't say a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Washington football team. Bad Houston. They beat the Chiefs, but really don't have any defense. They lose to the Titans, although that was a game I thought was their best game of the year. They, you know, Josh Allen slips. They lose that game. They come back, beat a bad Miami team. They lose to a bad Jacksonville team, beat a bad Jet team, beat an average Colt team. We'll see how good they are this weekend. And then New Orleans, which is really a one-dimensional team. I think we have the next 2 weeks for them. New England and Tampa Bay will tell us all we need to know about the Buffalo Bills.
You know, it's interesting with Buffalo, too. When you talk about Baltimore, many say the ball's in Lamar Jackson's hands too much and too much is dependent upon him for that offense. Allen's the same way. It's almost like they rely on him to get the ground game going as well.
But he is the ground game. I mean, he makes it go. I mean, fourth play of the game, they ran quarterback power.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, he is their run game. He has to compensate for the lack of the offensive line. I mean, they're not a physical team up front. I mean, and the Colts believed that they could come out there and push them around, and they did. The Saints just didn't have that ability. The Saints didn't have a back that could do that. They had Kamara back there. It might have been a little bit of a different game. Now, you know, I mean, the Saints, they have 146 yards. I mean, Sean ran it 25 times for 44 yards.
And a Bills defense that you've been wait and see, a little bit more dubious on. Listen, they got healthy against Trevor Siemian. You mentioned the backfield was empty for the Saints. This is a confidence booster for the Bills defense, but you can't really take much from this.
I think us as bettors, we have to really understand there's certain games. Okay, the Titans game when the Bills played the Titans, the Titans rushed for 146 yards. Okay. When they played the Colts, they ran for 264. All these other teams, when they played, you know, all these other teams can't run the ball on them because they're not very good running teams. You know, the Steelers in the week one was not a good run team. Miami's not a good run team. Washington in week three was not a good run team. Houston can't run the ball on anybody, right? Kansas City ran for 120 on them, right? And then Tennessee, we know they can. Miami, they've played a lot of teams. I think, to me, you've got to be really careful with their rating because their numbers, and I go through it every week with my power ratings, their schedule hasn't been really the toughest of any team. Now, they'll play New England twice. We'll know how good they are. And they play Tampa. We'll find out.
And you nailed it with that game, New England at Buffalo, being on Monday night the 6th. So they're going to get an extra day. Even the Bills of rest. Remember, New England's got Tennessee coming to town this Sunday. So it'll be fat. I don't think you've looked. So let me ask you, do you want to take a shot at that New England-Buffalo number, the line?
I have not looked. Let me look here. Hold on. Let me just see my numbers just okay. On this.
New England-Buffalo, that's on the 6th on Monday night. Big, huge divisional 50. Game.
A Buffalo 2.5.
Right now, most books, Westgate's got them 3.5. 3.5. Let's go Pats, right? I mean, who can you trust right now? Nobody, but the team that's building towards our trust is the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the league what we've seen on Thanksgiving Day was if you're not healthy, you're not going to play your best. I think what we've seen is if you're not healthy, Tennessee playing the Jets lose, Tennessee playing Houston lose, you're not. I think this is so much about coaching. This is so much about taking care of the details that this is the time of the year that you've got to go with coaches that can handle that. It really is. It was obvious. I mean, it was really that and we can kid about Nagy and Campbell, but that was really two poorly coached teams, really. And us as bettors, you know, we're investing money in that. I mean, that strikes me is that, you know, this is the best that the National Football League has to offer. And we're paying $6-7 million a year for that, making just simple mistakes. I mean, there should be a degree of expertise that we can notice that really wasn't the case.
All right, let me get you. I'm going to have you guess on these next two as well. Next Sunday, Minnesota's at Detroit. Two teams kind of trending in opposite ways. Detroit always trending the wrong way. What do you think the number is there with Minnesota in town?
All right, let me. I'll go by my numbers. Minnesota 171, Detroit.
It's heavy. I'll just
I'm going to say Minnesota's going to be an 8-point favorite.
You're very close. That's perfect. 7.5. You're right. Okay. 7.5. How about this one? So Chicago, after winning, that made me laugh the way you said it with Nagy. He freaking, like, that was a dude that feels like, oh, I was about to get fired.
Who do you think he hit an 18 parlay? You thought he hit, he hit an 18 parlay. I mean, he acted like I do when I have two hot dogs at the South Point. I mean, he was going crazy. He was so happy.
Yeah. Yep. No, you're right. That's funny. Okay. So Arizona's in town. Murray likely to be back. Right? We're expecting Murray to be back.
Arizona, Chicago. Yep. Where's the game?
It's in Chicago. It's heavy, too. I'm just going to give you.
That'll be 8.5. That'll be 8.5.
It's seven. And
that's less than that? The thing about that game is, too, we don't know where Hicks would be. If they have Hicks in there, he can pressure the pocket a little bit. But how are they going to move the football? Are they going back to Fields? Will they go back?
Fields, he's got cracked ribs. And then he's going to play, they say, when he's ready to play, whatever that. Take that as you will, Michael.
I mean, did Andy Dalton we call him the 2020 gun. Is he the perfect 2020 quarterback? He'll move you from 120 to the next, and then he gets in that red zone. He can't wait to turn that baby over.
Well, I'll tell you what he did do. And the Lions fans were sitting there, and God bless them for leaving their houses and driving in the cold out there.
Oh, my God. I thought the same thing, too. The Lion fans are incredible. To go out there on Thanksgiving Day and sit there and watch that coach, oh, my God.
My friend texted me, goes, you know what's crazy? It always feels like a sellout on Thanksgiving. I'm like, I know. These people are sadomasochists. The drive to end the game, the 18-play, 8-minute, 30-second drive where the Lions never got the ball back is the perfect. That's just chef's kiss on the Detroit Lions right there, not getting the ball back on just a slow, plodding drive.
So bad.
So bad.
And Will Hill just texted me and said the two timeouts cost him. And then he thought about it, and he said, well, yeah, you're probably right, because if it would have been 3rd and 7, Nagy would have just tried to run to get the other timeout out.
It
set game management back years.
It was bad. And Campbell, the other thing is he looks a tad confused at all times, which is not
a tad.
He looks a tad confused. We're not. We're back here on the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, indeed, it is Black Friday. We got you covered here on Black Friday at VSiN. It's a limited offer, so make sure you go check it out right now. VSiN.com/subscribe. $99 gets you everything in our football package through the Super Bowl, which is, you know, college, pro, everything. And then you get $20 to spend in the VSiN store in credit as soon as you sign up right now. So go check it out. VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, I want to get into a game coming up this Sunday with Michael. He's got a good agent, that being Dan Campbell, because he signed a 6-year deal.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, a 6-year deal. Amazing. So they can't move on. They're not going to move on after this year. They're just going to point to the roster and say, we got to give them some time.
Rebuild.
But that extra year is it's a nice little cushion for a guy that's never been a head coach.
Yeah, especially learning on the job. I mean, that's pretty obvious. He's learning on the job because he doesn't know what he's doing right now. I mean, that's the case. I mean, everybody sees it. You know, now he's taking over the play calling. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do.
No, it certainly isn't. And there seems to be some strife between Goff and Lynn. They're not on the same page. So that, in part, led to why Dan Campbell took over the play calling. But like you, I think you pointed out yesterday while we were in game, he's calling play to play. There isn't a plan,
yeah.
Right? It's play to play.
No.
He's just one step, one jump. That's what he's doing.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's just really, okay, here's where we're going. We're going, let's do this. Let's run it here. there's no real rhyme or reason. I mean, when you have 21 of 25, it looks really good on paper, right? You have four incompletions. But the reality of it is you didn't attack anything. You had 179 yards. You didn't move the ball down the field. You didn't make a play. Now you could say, well, every time we try to make a play, we got a holding call. Well, you know, you're the head coach. I mean, that's – you got to coach again. I mean, I know – I mean, when I was with the Patriots, Belichick put oven mittens on the offensive linemen. Oven mittens.
Yep.
Now, you heard that. Oven mittens. Like, you take the turkey out of the oven so they can't hold.
How was the turkey, by the way?
It was outstanding, Patrick. It was really good. I'm looking forward to today more than ever.
I was going
to
say, that is the day
after. I
got
to hit the bakery down the street. There's a bakery down the street that since I was a kid, I used to go to this bakery. They make these little rolls. I mean, I can't wait to go to the Ward's Bakery, go grab a couple, go turkey. Oh, it's the best.
So you got a turkey gal. You got a steak guy, which we won't talk about, yeah, especially on the air. And then do you have a baker?
This town's one thing about living on the East Coast, there's a lot of, you know, the water makes the dough so good here. The pizza's incredible. But there's a bunch of bakeries in this little town, and each bakery is kind of different. There's Benny, which was the kid when I was growing up. Benny had this little market of, you know, you get his bread, and then this pastry shop, Ward's, they make a certain kind of bread. You got to get all over. That's what makes a hoagie great, is the bread.
So you're going to go get those nice rolls today. It must have felt pretty good as well. Shout to the Boston Globe. I saw this. You tweeted this.
You see
today.
My man?
This is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So a guy that's coaching up the receivers there in New England is named Mick, and he's the son of Michael Lombardi. They did an expose on him today in the Boston Globe. That was awesome.
But the best part of it all, I mean, I'm so proud of Mick. There's no denying that. I'm proud of Matthew as well. But when my man Dominic gets the lead paragraph in the story, the first paragraph in the story, I mean, that was all I needed to see.
And his play sheets. And he's got his play sheet.
I wish I could have sent him a picture of him studying his play sheet. It would have made the article be even better. I should have done that. Yeah, maybe I will do that. Jim McBride did a nice job. I appreciate it.
Wonderful words from.
They have a big game.
I know. Let's get into it. So, because you see a couple 6.5s popping up. Michael, now here's the question with the Titans. It's a game that's almost marred by these injuries, right? Can they find an identity offensively without Henry, without Julio Jones, possibly without A.J. Brown? And this is, as far as success rate, this is a defense that's only getting better in the Patriots.
I mean, A.J. Brown didn't practice yesterday. He's got the chest injury, right? You know, and so they already cut at Peterson. So it's really going to – what's it going to come down to? You know, Foreman, is he going to be the back? Jenkins was limited yesterday. David Long, who's their really good linebacker, he can run. He did not practice yesterday. He's got that hamstring that has kept him out of two games. Their offensive line, Safford, he never practices. I mean, they're beat up. They are really beat up. They have to find a way to run the football. And the challenge to running the football is who's going to be the back. Jeremy McNichols is their nickel player, right? So where are they going to get it? Is it going to be Foreman? Is he going to be the back that does it? It's such a challenge. You know, without Henry, when you take Henry out of the offense, you now put all the pressure on Tannehill. And against the Patriots, it's going to be hard to run the ball consistently. And then if you don't have Julio, who's still on IR, and you don't have A.J. Brown, where's the ball going? This is a little saint-ish. You know, where's the ball going?
And then defensively,
you know, I mean, look, they're going to struggle. I mean, they're not healthy without Long, without Jenkins. You know, they'll know how to attack. This is a very similar defense to what the Patriots played last week against Atlanta. The essence of the Titans defense and the origins of the Titans defense goes back to Dean Pease. And so it's really the foundation is Dean Pease. And the Dean Pease defense is what they played last week. So they'll have a lot. So for bettors, this is now you get Mac Jones another week of seeing the same things again. And it certainly makes you better.
And the offense for the Titans over the last 3, 4.5 yards per play, not going to get it done. I mean, you can't really blame. Listen, they're getting crushed with injuries. And here comes, we talk about trusting a team. Patriots 5-0 straight up their last 5, 5-0 ATS their last 5, and they're beating teams by an average of 21.7. So it's a team it's kind of getting on the tracks right now.
Yeah, and this offensive line for Tennessee, you know, then what happens is you take away Henry, and all of a sudden now the line becomes who is the line, right? You know, Lawan's been hurt. Safford's always hurt. Ben Jones has not been a very good player. Quisenberry is a kid that they signed off the street in 2018. He's kind of bounced around. I mean, this is a beat-up offensive line. And, you know, if without A.J. Brown, can Chester Rogers or Dez Fitzpatrick, can they carry the team and the skill? Who does Belichick double? I mean, what tight end are you worried about? I mean, it's a hard, hard situation for them to go in there, but they have no skill. I mean, right now they have four receivers on the roster, and A.J. Brown's one of them.
Well, you nailed it as far as, first off, QB pressure as far as rate. The Patriots are sixth, and the Titans offensive line has allowed the fifth most sacks this year. So, I mean, these are two teams divergently coming into this matchup. Like, one team is absolutely, this is a mismatch. It's a nightmare for the Titans coming in to take on this team that's heating up right now.
It is, and you know, New England's got to play their game, and what they can't do is what most teams have done since Tennessee has really, I mean, look, we're talking about Tennessee. They were on a six-game win streak. When you go back and study that six-game win streak, teams really did a good job of giving them the game. I mean, Kansas City gives them three turnovers. Indianapolis gives them three turnovers. The Rams give them two turnovers, one for a score. You know, so they've made mistakes. New England, which has earlier in the season was making mistakes, they can't do that. And they should be, New England should be much healthier now. I mean, New England, you know, their injury report is always fairly intense. But other than Barrymore, who did not practice yesterday with a knee, they should be healthy.
And you mentioned mistakes. Well, the also divergent here. The Tennessee, they've turned the ball over six times their last three games, and since week nine, the Patriots are taking away the ball about a little over 2.5 times a game. So the takeaways,
they've been really good.
They've been really
area.
Advantageous and really opportunistic with the takeaways.
Yeah, they've been very good on third down defense and third down offense. I mean, they're fifth in the league in third down offense. They're sixth in third down defense. And where they're really good on defense is they're third in the red zone. They're really good. You get in the red zone, it's hard to score points on them. I mean, 6.5 is a lot of points on this line, though. I will say that. I think this is, you know, I mean, and a lot of this line is going to jockey between 6.5 and 7. I could see it going to 7 on Sunday. But I think a lot of that is, it's really more, it's not a reflection of the dominance between, it's a reflection of the injury list. Let's make that very clear. The Titans are not the same team, just like we should have been really more on the Bills yesterday because the Saints aren't the same team.
Yeah, the books are split. You nailed it. It's, you know, right down the middle. Some have it 6.5. Some have it 7 right now. My assumption is because of what you just mentioned, those injuries, I think we're probably going to see 7 mostly across the board, Michael. But right now it's split 6.5 and 7.
Yeah, I mean, I lean towards my numbers for this game were, like, my numbers for the game, it should be a 3.5-point game.
But you
game.
Can't. That and, is so, like, without
but,
injuries.
But, but a lot of the layers of my number have Henry in it. So you can't take my numbers. You know, they don't really work, especially when you have this many levels of injury in the game.
Yeah, who would have thought the Adrian Peterson experiment wouldn't work there? I mean, yeah. I was thinking about him. I'm like, wait, man. I saw AP running for the Lions.
Why not bring Barry Sanders back? Why not bring Barry
Sanders
back?
Don't sleep on Barry. Barry is the most freak. We were having a friend of mine was texting yesterday. He's like, oh, man, at least we used to watch Barry Sanders. I'm like, Barry Sanders. Remember when Saquon Barkley was coming in and people wanted to compare him to Barry? Nobody's Barry. Nobody. Maybe
Nobody's
Billy
Barry.
Sims,
no.
But Billy Sims got cut short with injuries. Remember Billy Sims back in the day with the Lions?
Billy Sims, yeah. I mean, Billy Sims could have been, you know, if he would have played now, that he would have overcome that injury easily.
Right.
Those poor running backs
right.
back in the day that got knee ACLs, their careers were over.
Yeah, you nailed it. You nailed it. Yeah, bring Barry back, Tennessee. Who they have? They've got Rodgers, Foreman. I'm trying to think of who they've got. They've got the Westbrook kid. I mean, they're just struggling.
That's you just named them, and they don't have their skill is gonna, it's going to be hard. They're going to try to play a slow paced game.
Slow it down. Okay. We'll speed it up with Wes Reynolds coming up next, college and pro, here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, and they welcome you with a special offer Thanksgiving weekend. Right now, simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any pro college game. If any team scores a touchdown, you're going to win $200. Bet 10 to win 200. You have to use the bonus code VSIN200, VSIN200. It's a great deal. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, 21 years or older. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Call 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Okay, plenty to do on this Black Friday. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. Michael Lombardi, I'm Patrick Maher. We're going to welcome in VSiN host Wes Reynolds, of course, Green Zone, Betting Across America, Long Shot. Some interesting games today, including Iowa-Nebraska. No Adrian Martinez for Nebraska, Michael. But Iowa still has a shot if... You know, tomorrow, if tomorrow Wisconsin slipped up at Minnesota, Iowa's still in the mix for the Big Ten championship game, so that's an interesting one. You also have Cincinnati, East Carolina, who I know Wes has a play on. So let's bring in Wes, and as we say hi to Wes and happy holidays, we'll start here just to kind of put a bow on our conversation about the Titans and New England, because Wes does have a play this weekend on that game. Hi, Wes.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great, great. So you do have a play with the Titans and Pats here.
Yeah, I went ahead, and now that the sevens have showed, I went ahead and took Tennessee. Look, I got to hope for some more friendly injury news than the Titans had last week, and that was one of the main reasons I think we were all on Houston the previous week, is because the Titans lead the league in players on injured reserve, and from a 53-man roster, and you've had almost 70 guys on your active roster, there's going to be a talent drop-off. I mean, almost the entire linebacking core was out last week, so hopefully... A little bit better news. By the way, this was 2.5 on the look-ahead line with the Patriots playing. Obviously, the Patriots were big winners on Thursday night against Atlanta, and then the Titans lose as 10-point favorites to Houston. But now I think it's kind of baked into the cake here in terms of the injuries and then the disparate performances that we saw last week. Mike Vrabel, pretty good in this role as an underdog at 17-9 against the numbers. So, now what we've heard, and it's kind of been a pattern with the AFC all year, guys, it's a different team that, okay, they're the team to beat in the AFC, and there's been several in that role. The Bills are the team to beat. The Chiefs are the team to beat. The Browns are the team to beat. The Ravens, the Titans. Now it falls on the Patriots. We're kind of like, they're the comer now in terms of moving up the AFC standings. So laying 7, I thought that was a little bit of a big number, kind of like the under here, too, at 44.5.
How about the, talk about the team that everybody is the team to beat, the America's favorite team, the Rams. They travel into Green Bay. Patrick, I don't have a weather report. Is it going to be snowy? I'm assuming it's going to be cold. But, this game has bordered between a one and a pick 'em. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, I do like the Rams here. And, I'm buying low because they come off the bye week, but the previous two times we've seen them, were both primetime national TV games, Sunday night and Monday night, and they looked bad, and they absolutely needed a bye week, and it came, I think, really at an opportune time. You look, and with Green Bay, I think a lot of it with Rodgers, I think that's already priced in. I think he's going to go. I know it's the toe injury, but the injuries that I think are hurting Green Bay is the offensive line. And offensive line injuries, I don't think, get priced enough into the market. Surely Sharp and Smart bettors bet offensive line injuries accordingly. You may have as many as 3 starters out on the Green Bay offensive line of what was their original starters up front. So I think that's going to affect them against a very good defensive line that's still number 4 in the league in sacks. You're now going to have Von Miller in uniform along with Aaron Donald. And also with Green Bay, one of the things that has kind of been an untold story about this team is the defense has been pretty good. But it's starting to show a little bit of wear and tear, and the injuries are starting to add up. And I think you saw that materialize at Minnesota last week. A couple linebackers out. We know Alexander has been on injured reserve. So now you're, I think, starting to see that catch up with the Packers. And then just on the surface, looking at this line, it's like, well, look at what we saw with the Rams the last 2 times they played. How can they be favored against Green Bay? So I'm going to go ahead and take the bait here and lay it with the Rams.
Yeah, it's going to be 36, a little windy, 12-mile-an-hour winds, but not snowing. So just 36 and cold. This is, obviously, as we head to December.
I like the play because I think Stafford, and I haven't run the numbers, I will, but Stafford typically, Patrick, you would know this as well as anybody, he plays pretty well in Green Bay.
He does.
He plays really – he's not fearful of that. He goes up there with a bad team and plays well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's something to that.
I totally agree, although the Packers 4-0 ATS their last 4 home games. But I do like the Rams in that matchup as well. Okay, we mentioned, Wes – 16 games across college football today. Let's get to one of those. And Cincinnati now jumps into college football playoff committee's top four, headed to East Carolina, and the number's 14.
Yeah, I rode Cincinnati last week when it seemed like the Herd was on SMU because we recall Cincinnati had not covered four straight games against lower opponents in that American Athletic Conference. So I thought, okay, this is the game where they're probably going to cover SMU with this high-powered offense. And Cincinnati absolutely swallowed them whole and had an easy win last week. But now the news tightens a little bit because you got a chance to finish the regular season undefeated. They're going to get Houston next Saturday in that AAC championship game. And you go to an East Carolina team that, you know, they were celebrating 2 weeks ago because they got bowl eligible for the first time under this coach, Mike Houston. So they go into Navy. They don't cover, but they get a game-winning field goal at the end. So now I feel like East Carolina is kind of playing with house money here. And, you know, this isn't going to be okay lay down for the conference because Cincinnati's going to be leaving the conference. They're going to the Big 12. They'd love to send them a nice parting gift in their departure from the AAC a couple years from now. But I thought 14 was a little high. I think East Carolina actually matches up a little bit better with Cincinnati because what you saw with SMU, this is an air raid offense, so a lot of passing. So you don't really have a quarterback necessarily that runs a lot, Tanner Mordecai, the Oklahoma transfer. But with East Carolina, this kid Ehlers is experienced, a third year as a starter. He can run a little bit. He can keep plays alive with his scrambling ability. So I thought that this was kind of a big number here for Cincinnati on the road. I don't think that they're going to necessarily take this game in Greenville for granted, but I think East Carolina can go ahead and play loose and relaxed, whereas Cincinnati might be a little bit tight early.
Well, I think you're right. And I think, you know, Cincinnati last week, they were playing a one-dimensional team that wasn't very good on defense. This week, you know, when you watch the Pirates of East Carolina, they can throw the ball effectively. They're 29th in the country in offense. I mean, they throw it well. They can run the ball. And defensively, which will be the challenge, their run defense is going to have to play really well. But I think the fact they're playing at home and getting two touchdowns, I'm with you, Wes. I think if and look, the committee wants Cincinnati to lose this game badly. We know that, right? They won't want it to deal with this ever again. But this is going to be one of those where Cincinnati's going to have a hard time winning this game because the matchup really, I think they can win it, but it's not going to be a dominating matchup because both these teams are similar.
Yeah, well put. Wes, I'm putting you on the spot a little bit here, so there's no pressure, but take your time on this. Nobody knows college football better than you, and that's probably better than the committee as well. So I'm going to ask you, Wes, who are the four best teams in college football right now?
If I were saying who the four actual best teams are, I'd put Georgia up there. I think you have to put Ohio State. They're 1-2 in my mind, not just in the rankings, but in the power ratings as well. Third, I would probably go ahead and put Alabama. And then fourth, I would put Michigan. Now, you're not going to see two Big Ten teams, I think, make that top four. I think if Cincinnati wins out, they're not getting jumped. I mean, Notre Dame, I don't think, can jump them because Notre Dame, I don't think, has that real standout win. Their best win is over Wisconsin. So Notre Dame's going to need Cincinnati to lose. But I wouldn't rate Cincinnati in my top four from a pure power rating standpoint. But if everything holds serve, it's going to be Georgia, Ohio State, and Cincinnati, and maybe Notre Dame does make it in the fourth. If you know, they're not going to take the two Big Ten teams, and if Georgia holds serve against Alabama in the SEC title game, maybe there is still a path for the Irish. The Big 12 champion, whoever that's going to be, Oklahoma or Oklahoma State, one of them is going to have to sweep the other, not only this weekend in Bedlam, but also in the conference championship game the following week. So, you know, it's right there for Cincinnati. All the right teams have lost at the right time. Oregon, Oklahoma, et cetera, et cetera. But I would still power rate them maybe about seventh in the country.
There it is. One more play. We got a minute left. TCU's at Iowa State today, and it's up to 15. Where are you at on that one?
Yeah, disappointing season for Iowa State. They were seventh in the country to start the season. Now they're 6-5. I think this is an opponent in TCU who's had a coaching change a few weeks ago with Gary Patterson out. I kind of think the Horned Frogs might want the season to be over based on how they looked against Kansas last week. And Iowa State's got an opportunity, 26 senior's disappointing season to take it out on somebody, and I think they do it today.
Okay. He's Wes Reynolds, of course, all day Sunday with the Green Zone, betting across America, long shots. He's all over the place. Good luck this weekend, Wes. Thank you.
Thank you, Wes. Appreciate you.
We got a busy weekend, Michael. Tomorrow, Ohio State, Michigan, Bedlam tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. And then coming up next.
Why are they starting that game so early? I don't know why. Why can't we have a night game?
I know. I totally agree. Coming up next, some games you just got to lay off. I can't go for that. No can do.